knowledge, and wisdom. And what's the theme? Christian growth. Amen. Tonight is as practical as it gets. Now remember last week we were told to put off the old, right? And put on the new man. And now tonight he's going to take these five verses and give us 10 practical ways that we can put the new man to work in our Christian walk, in how we treat others. That's pretty practical, isn't it? So notice verse 12. Put on. So remember last week he said, put on the new man, put off the old, put on the new. Now he says, put on. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We'll stop there tonight. There's a phrase that showed up multiple times in that passage, and that phrase is one another. One another. So that'll be our title tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word in this beautiful book. And Lord, I pray that we would learn the practical side of our Christian walk, and especially tonight as we realize what putting on the new man means in a practical sense and how we treat one another. May that become how we walk and how we treat others. So I pray that you would be glorified and you would guide us. And we thank you for this and love you in Christ's name. Amen. So remember last week, put on the new man, put off the old man. Now he says, here's some things to put on. If you're going to put on the new man, here's how the new man should behave when it comes to how we treat others. 10 things in this short little passage, 10 ways in which we can be a blessing to one another. So we'll walk through them together. Number one, compassion. Bowels of mercies, that word is also sometimes translated compassion in the New Testament. That bowels means our deep feelings, our deep emotions. And God says that we need to show compassion or mercy one to another. Look at 1 Peter 3:8. We'll look at one cross-reference for each one just for the sake of time. But 1 Peter 3:8, the Bible says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Notice there we see that phrase, one of another. That's our title tonight, one another. And the first way in which we can put on the new man is to be compassionate towards our brothers and sisters in Christ. Number two, verse 12, he says, kindness. He shouldn't even have to write this, should he? Because it should be natural for us to be kind to our brothers and sisters, especially as we reflect on how kind God was to us. Amen? But God showed us infinite kindness. He says, I want you to show kindness to each other. Ephesians 4:32, that'll be our one reference for this one. Some of these we're going to be looking at or have looked at in our Sunday school series because they are Christian virtues. Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Kindness should be natural for Christians. Sometimes things get into their heart and they lose sight of that, but it's always right to be kind to one another and compassionate to one another. Verse 12, number three, humility. Humility. The opposite of humility, of course, is pride. But humility means that we would never think that we were better than anyone else, and that we would always live our lives putting others first. Amen. Look at Romans 12:10. That'll be our reference tonight for this one. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Where God says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring. Oh, there's that phrase again. One another. Preferring one another. Putting others first. That's humility. There's no pride for a Christian. Pride, it came from the devil, led to his downfall, and leads to a lot of trouble in our own lives. The opposite of pride is humility. And God wants us to be humble around our brothers and sisters. So he wants us to show compassion one of another, 1 Peter 3:8. He wants us to be kind one to another. There's those two words again, Ephesians 4:32. And he wants us to prefer one another or show humility, Romans 12:10. Number four, meekness. Meekness. Look at Ephesians 5:21. Meekness is not weakness. Jesus was meek. Moses was meek. Neither one of them were weak. But notice Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So I've made sure that each of our cross references also has those two words in them, one another, to show you how heavy of a theme it is in the scriptures, one another. So submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, that's meekness. And then verse 12, number 5, long-suffering. Long-suffering. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:14. This was the one I couldn't find one another in. But it's close. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, it says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. That's close to one another, all men. But long-suffering, patience, God wants us to show this to one another. That's putting on the new man, putting on compassion, putting on kindness, putting on humility, putting on meekness, and putting on long-suffering. Number six is in verse 13, forbearance. He says, forbearing one another. Forbearance is different in that forbearance is overlooking, if you will, the faults of others. Putting up with the faults of others. Now we all have faults, don't we? Forbearance says, you're a sinner and I'm a sinner, so I'm not going to constantly give you a hard time because of your weaknesses. I'm going to forbear your weaknesses. Amen? And God says, Ephesians 4:2, forbearing one another in love. There's our one another phrase, Ephesians 4:2, forbearing one another. Forbearing the faults of others. And then number 7 is also in verse 13, forgiveness. That one should be obvious for Christians. But holding a grudge is sin. Bitterness is sin, and yet so many Christians try to hold on to those things and wonder why their Christian life isn't joyful and fruitful. It's because God expects us to always forgive. Look at Colossians 2:13, and God tells us, he says, if any man have a quarrel against any, here in verse 13, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So there he gives us the measure of the forgiveness that we're supposed to have in our Christian walk. And that measure is, has Christ forgave us. Amen. And here is an explanation of Christ forgiving us here in chapter 2, verse 13. At the end of the verse, he says, having forgiven you what? All trespasses. Amen. Which means there's no exceptions. God has forgiven us all trespasses. He wants us to always forgive. He says in Mark 11, verse 25, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. That your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. So the new man The new man is compassionate and kind and humble and meek and long-suffering and forbearing and forgiving. That's practical, isn't it? Number 8 is in verse 14 of our passage. And that is, he says, this is the highest one. Jesus said the same thing, didn't he? He says, of all these things, above all these things. So how do we know it's the highest? Because God says so. Above all of these other things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Jesus said something similar in John 13:35. We'll turn there. This is our one another verse. John 13:35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. God says it's the bond of perfectness. Is it the closest that we can get to heaven? The closest we can get to the perfectness that we will one day experience is when Christians are charitable, when they show biblical charity. Amen? Let's look at a couple more. This one's going to have multiples just because he says it's above all. But 1 Corinthians 12:25. It says that the members. Where am I? Wrong chapter. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So there's one another again. So charity is our 8th new man virtue that God wants us to possess. And of course, we have the charity chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. You can read that in your leisure at how powerful and amazing charity can be when we allow the Holy Spirit to work it through us, the Holy Spirit who indwells us. Number 9 is in verse 15, and that's peace. What does a peace mean when it comes to a virtue or the new man? Well, this isn't talking about peace, having peace in your heart. This is talking about having peace with each other. Because he says, let it rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body. So he's talking about the one body, which we are. And if we're not right with others, there won't be peace, will there? There will be the opposite of peace. There will be grudges and unforgiveness and whatever, dissension and hatefulness and all these other things. But God wants unity with his body, doesn't he? He tells us that over and over in the scriptures. And if you look at Romans 12 again, this will be our one another verse for this one, Romans 12:26. Or sorry, verse 16, Romans 12:16. There isn't a 26. Know what it says. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Look at verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. There's that peace. With who? All men. So the new man is a man of peace. He gets along with everyone. Doesn't hold grudges. Isn't bitter. Doesn't fight all the time and so forth. And then he reminds us that we are to be thankful and that we're let the word of Christ, notice verse 16, dwell in us. And we know we've heard over and over again the importance of the word of God being in our hearts, amen. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee, and many other scriptures. But God here is saying one of the great benefits of letting the word of Christ dwell in you is so that you can then be a blessing to one another by what? Teaching and admonishing. We can't teach and admonish one another if we don't know the scriptures. Now we can try, but we're going to fail because the only true wisdom is found in God's word. Amen. And if we're going to teach someone, we better be teaching them the truth. and not error. And if we're going to admonish someone, we'll be doing it with the Word of God and not from our own hearts or our own thoughts or ideas, which then again explains why he wants the Word of God to dwell in us so that we can then in turn teach and admonish one another. Amen? Notice 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Most of you are familiar with 1 Thessalonians, the end of chapter 4, which is talking about the rapture. A detailed explanation of the upcoming rapture. But the very last word or verse in the chapter says what? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen? Use these words, 1 Thessalonians 4:18, to comfort who? One another. Not the lost. You can't comfort the lost because they're not going to heaven. But you can comfort Christians with the Word of God. And what's more comforting than to know Jesus is coming to take us? That's very comforting, isn't it? So he says, I want you to teach and admonish. Now, teaching and admonishing are different. Teaching is imparting information in God's Word, imparting wisdom. Admonishing is giving a scriptural warning in love. So teaching is to pass on information from God, which is a beautiful thing. But admonishing is when we see other Christians maybe that need some help, some encouragement, maybe a quiet word of warning. That's admonishment. And God says that we are to admonish one another. There's that phrase, one another, again in verse 16. Another one is Hebrews 10:24. We can turn there quickly. Where he says, let us consider who? One another. Do you see how many times this phrase shows up in the New Testament? Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another, but as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That word exhort, very close to admonish, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. But notice, consider who? One another. Provoking. Provoking with the Word of God. So it says that our hymns and our spiritual songs should be filled with Scripture. That's what it's telling us, right? It's one of the reasons why I implemented singing Scripture songs years ago, because I love it. It's just another way to get more of the Word of God into our hearts. But it's scriptural, because God says, exhorting and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So he's saying that we can exhort and admonish one another with what we sing. This isn't talking about singing in our car, is it? Because how does that admonish others? This says admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. People misuse this verse all the time. But God wants us ultimately to teach and admonish who? One another. And what better medicine is there than singing? So the new man, which we've been told to put on, the new man treats his brothers and sisters in these 10 ways. Very practical. He's compassionate. He's kind. He's humble. He's meek. He's long-suffering. He's forbearing. He's forgiving. He is charitable. He shows charity and love. He gets along. He has peace with others. And he teaches and admonishes others as well. That's quite a list for 5 verses, isn't it? So that's God's practical way of us living out the Christian life, living the new man, which we've been commanded to do, in how do we treat others, which Jesus said, by this one thing shall men know that you're my disciples, right? One thing, love one to another. So Here it is. This is it. Where the rubber hits the road, as they say. Very practical. The new man. Put on these things. This is how we treat our brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word and this admonishment tonight for each of us to always treat our brothers and sisters biblically. And Lord, to make sure our hearts are always right so that we can do so. Right with you and right with others. So thank you for teaching us tonight. We love you. And